With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today. Thanks for tuning into RCR, Reality Check Radio. The following interview contains topics that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. If you would like to contact us in regards to any of our content, please email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's inbox@realitycheck.radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show here on Reality Check Radio. I am your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh, and today of all days, I am so honored to be talking to someone all the way over in America. I'm talking to Paul Hutchinson. He is the executive producer of the Sound of Freedom movie, which many of you have heard me talk about over the past year. You might remember I interviewed Gloria Masters. We were the only media to say yes to her interview back in the day, and we are going to talk today about the topic of journey from darkness to light. From fighting child trafficking to starting a worldwide movement to liberating humanity. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you, Natalie. Honored to be here with you and your audience.
It's a big topic that we're going to dive into, and I love the fact that we both have a bit of a plan, but we're really just going to see where things go. For those of you that don't know Paul, or maybe you haven't heard of the movie, I'm sure many of you have. As mentioned, Paul is executive producer of the Sound of Freedom movie. He's also an author, speaker, and serial entrepreneur, founder of Child Liberation Foundation, and he tributes charity as the real key to his success and fulfillment. Paul, before we dive into the topic of the day, can you give us a bit more of a window into your world, a little bit of bio or backstory on how you came to be involved in, I think it's 70 charities you've been involved with. Tell us a little bit more about your journey.
Yes, I've been somewhat of a serial entrepreneur, had success even in my early 20s with a company that helped people overcome anxiety and depression disorders. And I sold that company. I started an investment fund, became very successful, had over 4,000 employees of my company by the time I retired. And I can attribute all of the success of my company in my early 20s and in the investment firm, all of that, to my choice to not only donate 2 or 3% like the average person does, but to donate upwards of 10 to 20% of my money and up to 20% of my time to making a significant impact in the lives of others. And I believe that that one decision that I made in my early 20s made all the difference. How does somebody become a partner, let alone a founder of a $40 billion fund? I mean, you're not a University of Utah dropout. You know, the statistical probability of me being where I am is zero. And the only way I understand it is that, you know, you can call it karma, you can call it God, you can call it the universe, you can call it whatever you want to. There's a higher power very interested in us doing good. And that universal law of exchange is something that you can rely on every time, realizing that beautiful blessings will come into your life as you strive to make a positive impact in the lives of others.
And I feel like that is something that so many of us, including many of my listeners, are wanting to do. We have a desire, a strong desire, burning desire even, to have a positive impact. But, you know, the impact that you've had is, I have to say, quite monumental. I've always been quite fascinated by humanity in general and personality types and why we do what we do and all the things. What do you think it is, if you look back on your life, like what is the driving, maybe if you're happy to share, experience or thing that do you think drove you to make such a monumental impact and specifically in the area you've chosen?
Well, I had already been involved in a lot of different charity organizations that were tied to helping children. I was on the Make-A-Wish board of directors for 7 years. I was the incoming chairman in our area for Make-A-Wish when I got a phone call about 10 years ago from our attorney general. And he said, Paul, he knew more about my background than most people. He knew that I you know, had some training that would make me somewhat safe in a dangerous place. But he said, Paul, he said, there's a Homeland Security agent. He's in Colombia. He's identified a whole bunch of kids that are being sold and are being trafficked for organ harvesting, labor, sex, you name it. Most of these were sex trafficked children. And I was asked not only to help fund this rescue mission, but what transformed my life was when they asked if I could come and play a role. Mm-hmm. They said the head trafficker had a piece of property he wanted to develop into a child brothel, sex resort, kind of a Jeffrey Epstein type of a situation. And he needed a few million dollars to make it happen. He believed he could make tens of millions of dollars a year selling children to wealthy Americans. And what the plan was is that I would come down. This guy, he said, look, he said, I can't teach my Navy SEALs how to negotiate a multi-million dollar real estate deal. He said, and I don't know of any ultra successful real estate guys who've had the training that you've had. And so I was asked to come down. And the very first time I'm sitting there with these traffickers, and one of the traffickers leans forward and he goes, he was so excited I was willing to look at his project. He said, Pablo, I have a gift for you. I said, really, what's your gift? And he hands me his phone, and there's a picture of an 11-year-old girl on his phone. He said, this is Princess. She's still a virgin. We just took delivery of some. She's my gift for your party. And in the movie Sound of Freedom, my character was played by Eduardo Verástegui. He's the producer of the film. He's the Latin actor that half the women think are super good looking. I had to find somebody who would represent me, right? So he plays the part of Pablo, the wealthy guy that halfway through, Jim Caviezel's like, the only way that I can pull this off is if I can convince Pablo. Meaning he needed somebody because the government wasn't going to pay for the operation. Well, I was Pablo in real life. And he couldn't get government funding for what he was trying to do. And so separated, and we did it privately. Well, then, of course, in the movie, the only way that I was convinced to go is that he gave my driver a picture of this little girl named Princess, this 11-year-old. In real life, I was already there. I was face to face with these guys selling children, and he showed me this picture, and that was the first time that I had seen the face of what was a verified child being trafficked, being sold. And and then the other total transformational moment for me was at the day of the sting a couple weeks later, and these guys had brought 54 children to this island. And in the movie, that little girl wasn't there. He found her in a jungle region. In real life, she was there at that rescue. They wanted to. We put about 8 different rescue missions together, and that jungle was actually a little boy we were looking for. It was a completely different team. I was there with a couple of my other operators. We were dressed as doctors. It was super dangerous, but that was a totally different country, different area. But in real life, that little girl was there at that island, and they brought her and some of the other children out. Yeah, 4 virgins, 3 little girls, 1 little boy, scared to death. And I'm sitting on a chair just like I am right here, and I'm eye level with this little girl. She's a little bit taller as she's standing up as I was sitting down, but not much. And all I could see was fear in her eyes. And I made a commitment to myself, my higher self, God, the universe, to everybody, every single child that was trafficked, that I was going to dedicate my life to eradicating that evil from the face. There's nothing worse I could think of than somebody selling an 11-year-old virgin to a complete stranger in a different country. I mean, what has humanity gotten to where that's okay anywhere? And so that's what I did. I dedicated my life. I quit my job, retired early. You know, I was doing all right. I could retire and decided to put my full-time effort into charity work. And for 10 years, I led or played a key part in over 70 undercover rescue missions in 15 countries. Mm. And at the end of last year, or a little over a year ago, I realized that there's more children being sold today than there ever was in history. And I looked in the mirror and I said, Paul, if your goal in your life is to eradicate child trafficking, you're not doing a very good job. because every time I went undercover and we found 20 or 30 kids and we pulled them out, yeah, it was making a powerful impact in the lives of those children. But if not enough was being done to fix the demand, then another 20 or 30 more children were being sucked back into the deepest recesses of hell. And so I realized that I needed to use my voice. And at the time, the movie wasn't even out yet. We had finished the movie 5 years before and nobody would do distribution. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go public. I'm going to start sharing these stories. And less than a month after I decided to go public, Angel Studios picked up the contract on distribution of the film and miraculous things started happening. But I realized that my purpose is not just rescuing a 10-year-old from the clutches of a trafficker in Honduras. My role moving forward is to help every adult, help all of humanity get to the point where they can go on their own undercover rescue mission and rescue that 8, 9, 10-year-old inside of themselves that was broken as a child, that is holding on to all of this pain, and help them identify ways that they can heal through that pain. Because that's the only way, by liberating humanity from all of their addictions and all their past and all their trauma, all this stuff, that's the only way that we're going to eradicate child trafficking.
Okay, there's so much in every single thing that you just said. For some listeners, I want to acknowledge this is going to be quite a emotive or triggering topic, because it will be touching close to home for an experience of yourself or someone else. For other people, it will be emotive because you really didn't think it was a thing. Like, you thought it only happened in some countries and a lot of it was maybe blown out of proportion. It's not blown out of proportion. What I am loving, Paul, is I didn't actually appreciate your like face-to-face personal actual experiences within this. So first of all, kind of commending you. And it's one thing to go from, sure, here's a couple million dollars, to, yes, I'm happy to come and sit on a bench beside a person that's trying to create an island. Like, that is a massive life opportunity going, like, are you going to do it? Is it a yes or a no? And you were obviously a yes. Second of all, what you said about this guy who believed that he could make millions and millions from selling children on an island. And the tragic thing is, yeah, he probably could, because there is supply and there is definitely demand, which is so mind-blowing, yet so true and so baffling. And I see what you're saying about that, not really the starfish thing, but it's like, even though you feel like you're making no difference, like you're making a difference to one child, but the supply and the demand, it's like, how do we get to the bottom of this problem? And what you're coming to is quite a holistic and kind of philosophical look at humanity, is that for the power of rescuing yourself. Wow. And I definitely think there's something in that. I mean, there's something in trying to actually do something, where being there and rescuing the children. And there's something about educating and opening people's eyes, which is what the movie has done and will continue to do. But there's something quite different about encouraging people to actually go within and, you know, do the work or have someone else help them do the work in terms of healing themselves and liberating humanity that way. Can you elaborate on that? Because for some people, they won't know what you're talking about in terms of rescuing yourself.
Yeah. So here's some important statistics. One out of every four women that you know has been a victim of sexual violence as a child. And most of them in their own homes. Now, most of them weren't full out trafficked like Gloria and others, but they were abused by over 92% of them by a family member or somebody that the family knew fairly well. And unfortunately, the average age of somebody even disclosing their abuse as a child, the average age is 52 years old.
Wow.
That's my age. I've raised my kids. I've built my career. And if you're holding on to all that negativity, all those years of your life, and here's what happens. The human mind, especially as a child, goes into protection mode and actually blocks out those memories completely from your conscious mind. But subconsciously, they're still there. And they surface in low self-esteem or anger issues or anxiety or depression. Or in some cases, they come out in becoming contact offenders and passing it on in verbal abuse and physical abuse, and in some cases, the sexual abuse of a child. I found myself, as I was doing these rescue missions, people ask me, they say, Paul, how can you go face-to-face so many times with people selling you children and not have them see the hatred and the anger in your eyes? And my answer surprises them, and it's going to make some people mad. Here's what it is. I don't hate them, okay? Don't get me wrong. I put my life in danger. I'm very unique in the fact that I can say this with authority. I can extend compassion towards them and ensure that they never hurt innocents again. What does that look like, right? I put my life in danger to ensure they never touch another child again. However, what I wish is that I could go back 5 or 10 years before they ever cross that line, before they ever hurt a child, and find out what was, and from a compassionate standpoint at that point, what was going on in their life that made them think that taking that road was okay in any way.
Yeah.
Chances are, most of them were raped as children. Most of them had some kind of trauma as children. And now, that doesn't justify their actions in any way. The majority of people who were abused as children, the majority of them grow up to be protectors, to be standing guard to protect the children in their life and in their family and their community. But unfortunately, there are people that allow that pain to just fester and get worse, and it comes out in anger. And then, and people, here's something important as well. People may say, okay, I don't need to fix my shit because I'm not affecting children because maybe I have these anger issues. I would never touch a child. Oh yeah. Well, what if you're holding all of this trauma and this pain, and you go to work and you're a boss and you're treating people like crap, right? And let's say, and you're taking your frustrations, your internal turmoil out on other people. And then you say something to one of your young employees, you know, and he's already on the edge, right? His wife's yelling at him. He's got some addiction problems to pornography, whatever. And he's got a 6 or 7 year old daughter at home who he's been addicted to some child pornography, and he's on the edge, right? And by you not controlling your anger, your trauma transfer, what happens is that now he goes home and maybe passes on that trauma to a child. So yes, it is all of our responsibility, regardless of the fact that we may not be people that would ever pass that trauma on to a child. As a whole, we have to raise the global consciousness to a higher frequency, a higher elevation of love, of forgiveness, of letting go of guilt and trauma and all this crap. That's the only way that we're going to elevate humanity to the point where there isn't a demand for trafficking. There isn't a demand for even the trauma that's passed on to the children. If we can do that, we save millions of children, not just 20 at a time, not just a few thousand over a few years. That's what my goal is. And that's what my mission is moving forward, and my total focus in 2024 and beyond.
I wrote down quelling the demand for trafficking, not through education, which is where I thought we were going, right? But through elevating. And I mean, it takes a pretty incredible person to not have that anger and direct anger at those people, but to have compassion. I think because you can see the bigger picture. And I, you know, when you quoted that stat, you know, 1 out of 4 women, I do remember about a month or so ago, I was sitting with a group of 3 other women. There were 4 of us. And we were talking about eating and eating disorders. And I was the only one that hadn't had one. And I was the only one that hadn't been sexually violated. I mean, there's a connection there, right?
Yeah. There is. It flows over into everything, whether it's eating disorders or other addictions or low self-esteem or frustration or difficult situations in your relationships. With men, you know, the number is a little bit smaller. It's one in five, about 20% of all men at some time in their life have been a victim.
It's actually, that's surprisingly high though. A lot of people, that will surprise them that it's so high for men.
And with men though, they are much less likely to ever disclose it. You know, the average age, like I say, 52, but a lot of men never say anything because they're thinking, oh, you know, that thing that happened to me when I was eight by my uncle, that if I tell anybody, that would make me less of a man. No, it won't. You were eight. You know, that was a horrible thing that happened to you, but it doesn't define you today in any way. And in fact, every single cell of our body is brand new over the last few years. Our physical body is literally not the same physical body that went through that. It's the emotional holding on to those chains. And that's really what it is holding on to it. All we have to do is simply release it and understand that everything of our past, whether it was things that happened to us or things that we did, everything of our past can be washed away. And we can move on to this new version of ourselves that's in line with our higher selves, that's in line with our mission. And all we have to do is simply remember. We just have to remember who we are as eternal beings, as the fact that we're all connected to each other, to everything around us. There's this literal energetic connection that we all have. You know, I realized that sitting down with those traffickers, they were literally my brothers, right? And yeah, I so badly, I just wanted to punch them. And then the first two or three years, it was all I could do to not just destroy them. I would actually tell my undercover operators, I said, guys, it's not our job to judge. That's God's job. But if we need to arrange that meeting with God a little bit early, let's go ahead and do it. You know, that was kind of the attitude in the beginning because they're wasting my oxygen. They're touching a child. They're done. I had no tolerance whatsoever. And I still, you know, ensure that whatever happens, they're never, ever able to pass that trauma on anymore. Mm-hmm. But I believe that the best solution is not fighting fire with fire. Because you fight fire with fire, you create more fire. Instead, we have to take a look at where the fire came from. If you imagine the links of a chain, right? And the very, very end link of this chain is the sexual abuse of a child. We never want anybody to get anywhere close to that. We want to break that chain before it even gets close. So we have to ask ourselves, what are the links of the chain that lead to that end link? And so that we know which ones we can break way, way back here. Maybe it's, you know, addiction to child pornography. Maybe that came from addiction to some other different, maybe it's drug stuff. Maybe it's, you know, abuse in the home. There's all kinds of things that we can heal way down here so that that link never gets way down here. That's what the goal is together as humanity, we can take a step back and say, okay, what is it that I need to heal about myself? Even if I'll never pass that trauma on to a child, what is it that I need to heal about myself so that I can show up in life without my anger issues, without my addictions, with being able to be fully present in my relationships? All of these things are things that can happen if we go on that rescue mission and rescue that 8-10-year-old child inside yourself that needs that love.
One thing I'm hearing is, we got to make it easier and more okay for men to heal. And to heal, they need to be either ready or open to asking for help or receiving help. And I know it's not just men that do the perpetrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's both. It is the majority of perpetrators are men, which is why we need the men to change the culture to the point where they can feel comfortable talking about it. Guys, by just talking about it, to your, even if it's just your wife or your ecclesiastical leader, your buddies, whatever, just talking about it releases enough of that trauma by itself that the chances of you passing that on in the future goes way, 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 way down, way down. Mm-hmm. right? So just getting to the point where we can feel comfortable talking through it, mm-hmm. and having somebody with that compassionate that can love us through it, that's so valuable. And there are a lot of other tools as well that, you know, I'm working on changing the laws in the U.S., allowing for the use of some plant medicines in some trauma healing, because it's been so effective. We're here in Latin America right now, and we do these healing ceremonies a lot with people who have been through 20 and 30 years worth of therapy trying to deal with their childhood abuse situations. And in a 4 or 5 day fully immersive transformational healing retreat, we can get as much done as you can do in 10 years of therapy.
So, are you talking about ayahuasca or something else?
Yeah. There's a lot. So in the late 60s, President Nixon in the United States decided to classify a whole bunch of plant medicines as Schedule I drugs. These are things like sassafras, white lily, mistletoe, psilocybin, ayahuasca. All of these are, you know, different types of psychedelics, some of them a lot stronger than others, like in ayahuasca and others. But all of them, if used by a trained facilitator in the right context, I'm not an advocate of somebody going to a rave party and getting stoned or getting high, whatever, and taking a bunch of shrooms. I am a huge advocate of people seeking out trained facilitators who understand the medicine that can help people work through their trauma with the help of some of these tools. And so we've gained a lot in the U.S. And I think by August of this year, MDMA will be cleared by the FDA. We're using it in a bunch of studies with veterans who have PTSD, et cetera, there. And then after that step, we'll be able to expand it into people who have dealt with some kind of trauma like what we're dealing with here.
I think it is really important, and I always like to, on my show, give my listeners some, you know, practical things that they can do. So out of this discussion at some point, I'd love to share some practical things people can do if they are, you know, like me. I guess I would consider myself very concerned citizen, you know, meaning I don't have a personal experience, but it really hits me in the heart because, you know, the child sex trafficking and the idea of that. You'd mentioned earlier organ harvesting. I mean, it's just hideous to think about, but it is happening. So I'd love to talk about what are some things that me, the average citizen, can do. But also, if someone is more deeply impacted by this conversation because either themselves or someone in their life has had an experience or they haven't ever told anyone, what are some things they can do? I know that, like, there's therapy and there's counseling and there's also non-talk therapy. Like, you don't have to rehash everything. There's, like, frequency healing and all sorts of things that people can do. What has Breathwork. Been impactful or successful, or is it really different for every person?
Well, let me back up with that in terms of things that we can do. The first thing we need to do as adults is protect the children. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what does that look like? You know what? I might have to. Is my camera still working?
No, I can't see. I can't see you anymore, which is fine, but there we go. Now I can see you again.
Okay. Yeah. I changed cameras here. Okay. So, first of all, in terms of protecting the children, people leave the movie Sound of Freedom and they're like, okay, I want to do something. I want to help. You know, the worst thing that you can do is go try to be a Rambo, go down to Colombia and try to rescue kids. You're going to get shot.
Yeah, okay.
Right. You try to do what I did for the last 10 years, you'll get shot. I'm lucky that I didn't get shot. There were so many situations where that was so close. And you'll probably get arrested, you know, if you don't have the right connections with the government, et cetera. The best thing that you can do is go home and hug your children. And people say, well, how is that going to help, you know, help trafficking? No, it's going to help more than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. The majority of children that are being trafficked actually sleep in their own beds at night, right? They're being groomed and trafficked by a family member, by an uncle, by a neighbor, et cetera, that is earning money off of extorting them and prostituting them, et cetera. It happens all the time. You know, somebody will get pictures, sexting pictures of a minor and then threaten to use them and to send them all over unless that minor does certain things. And that's, they begin to be trafficked at that point, right? So you need a relationship with your children where they can come to you and very comfortably say, "Hey, mom, hey, dad, I don't like it when you make me hug Uncle Harry, because you know he just makes me feel weird when I hug him. Or you know, I don't like going to this friend's house because her brother always grabs me on my butt when we go. Or you know, our babysitter's showing us pornography and tells us that we should trust her more than you." These are all grooming behaviors that is so important that you, as a parent, have a relationship where they can comfortably come to you. If something happens, they can say, "Hey, you know what? We were at recess today and these boys took me behind the bushes and they pulled my pants and they did this to me." Those kind of conversations need to be somewhere your children don't feel embarrassed. They don't feel like it was their fault. They don't feel like they – because here's the thing, Natalie. When we rescue the kids from trafficking situations, we know they're in a serious situation. So we immediately start giving them the help that they need, the counseling that they need. Mm-hmm. If you have your own child in your own home that is going through a traumatic situation and she is not able to tell anybody, then she buries it. And that buried trauma is what is creating so many problems in our world today. So having that relationship with your children is the most important thing you can do to keep them safe. Now, moving forward as an adult, understand that a lot of adults who have dealt with that kind of trauma as children don't remember it. You know that something wasn't right. You can sense that it wasn't right. And here's the thing. You don't necessarily have to re-traumatize yourself to remember it all, to fix it. You really don't. You know, there's a lot that can be done with different holistic healing type of modalities. Things like breath work alone. There's some powerful breath work meditation type seminars that you can go onto YouTube and find some that just getting super in tune with your body through your breath can create an almost a psychedelic type experience, because you're releasing that DMT and those tools, things like that, things like deep meditation, are so healing. You don't have to sit here and talk about what happened to me when I was six or whatever else. No, it's just a remembering of who you are from the deity inside of you, this eternal being of light and truth and love. Once you really feel into that and recognize your infinite nature of your soul, then you'll realize that finite things really don't matter as much as you thought they did, right? Just this finite time in this body, this finite thing that even our finite finances, our money supply, whatever it is, you know, all these things that just worry us all the time, we're thinking on the finite, on a finite timeline. And once you understand that all things are connected and all things are infinite and your eternal worth, then you can start breaking free of these self-imposed limitations that happen because of things in your childhood. So those are, I mean, there's hundreds of tools. If, like I say, there's different psychedelic type things that some countries, you have to make sure you go to a place where it's legal, but there's plenty of things you can do without the help of those plant medicines. Like I say, with meditation and breath work and, you know, prayer, whatever it is for you to get in really good connection with your higher self and your mission.
I love the higher perspective, the consciousness angle that you're coming at this with. And some of my audience will be all over it. And for other people, as always, I invite you to just have an open mind about looking at this. We would love to hear what is resonating for you if you're listening to this and you're finding it helpful, giving you some possibly... For some people, I know they've written to me in the past when I interviewed Gloria saying, you know, "Thank you for acknowledging, you know, I've never actually told anyone, but thank you for acknowledging." So I just wanted to honor everyone that's listening today. However this is impacting you, you can send us a text if you wish, 2057 on the text, or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. Something you've mentioned a few times, Paul, and I want to go back to it, is some people don't... they don't acknowledge that something happened to them until the age of 52 or thereabouts, and often never, especially if it's a man. And I imagine for some people, like you said, they will be carrying that in their body. And I always talk about, you know, if you shove the emotions down, it's acid in your body, and it can cause health, present as physical health problems. for other people, they might have physical health problems, but they might actually still not know, right? They might be like 50 years old and still have no idea, but not know why they're so low or depressed or whatever. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, how can people who don't know that something happened, how can they help themselves if they just genuinely don't remember anything super bad like that?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You don't have to remember to heal.
Right.
You know, your body's blocking it out for a reason. It was really traumatic. All you have to do is in your meditation or in your breath work, you need to go back to that child, whatever age. And you'll intuitively know what age something happened. You know, there was something at eight. I don't know what it was, but something at eight or something at six, whatever it was. And simply go as your adult self and hug that child and give that child the love and the support that they need. You can do so in your meditations. You can get to the point where you turn off your analytical mind. You can get into this place of being truly in touch with the world around you, with your present, your future, and your past, all connected in this beautiful meditation state. And for you that are, you know, more religious Christians, that you can do this in a prayer state as well. You know, don't just pray saying, God, fix this, whatever, but say, God, help me get to the point where I can heal that child, where I can just mentally go back and get really quiet in my mind and take that child, my younger self, into my arms, give them the protection that they so badly needed at that time, the love that they so badly needed, the unconditional love, telling them that there's nothing that they did wrong. They should not feel guilt for anything and they can just release it. That's all that needs to happen. That child just needs to feel that protection and that love and that healing from this one person that they can trust implicitly, which is themselves, this higher version of themselves, this adult version of themselves. So you don't have to remember the details. We've taken people through, you know, breath work and these guided meditation and these healing retreats, and they knew something was really difficult they dealt with, and that's okay. It's about releasing it and healing that child and giving that child the love that they need, not rehashing it. You know, people think that they can fix their future by beating themselves up about the stupid things they did in their past, right? Anytime that we're rehashing our past, whether it's something that was done to us or something that we did, anytime that we're just bringing that back up, it's actually a form of, it's like we're reliving that. And if it was something horrible that we did, that we're trying to get rid of this bad habit by holding on to all this judgment and this guilt and this shame, It's perpetuating that into the future. And it's difficult to transform yourself into this new version. You don't have to hold on to that crap. You don't have to talk about it. You can let it go. Just let it go and give that younger version of yourself the love and the healing that they need. That's all that you have to do.
I think that is so important in terms of, you know, allowing them to either or not, but to not recycle it and rehash it, like you would not get into that cycle, but to rather release. And something my audience has heard me say many times since we came into 2024, the year of the wooden dragon, is many things will be coming up for you. People from your past will be coming back into your life, or memories will be resurfacing, or even just emotions. And you have no idea how and why in 2024. This is what is happening. I don't know if it rings true for you guys. Definitely ringing true for many people in my world at the moment. And it is an opportunity to I always talk about, you know, remember or allow things to rise up and then to speak about them. Or in terms of the COVID situation, for some people, it's reporting what did happen. But the important thing is not to dwell and not to recycle the memories, but to release so that we can move forward. And I think that is such a good reminder. In New Zealand, we have something called the Mankind Project. And I know there's lots of people that do breath work if you're listening to this and you have a way that you feel you can help people to realize or to release some of these emotions and these experiences that we're talking about today, please get in touch, because I'm more than happy to read them out on my next radio show or also put them in the show notes. Is there any organization, Paul, that you recommend, or a course or something that people that you can direct people to?
Absolutely. We've been creating alliances with a lot of different groups that can provide tools for healing and for safety within the families. You can go to liberatinghumanity.com. So put in ING, liberatinghumanity.com. And not only can you find links there that can lead you to some of my favorite meditation experts and breath work, et cetera, but we also have courses from some of the people who trained me before I went undercover on situational awareness and hand-to-hand combat and just things like that, that, you know, a few little skills like that. My daughter, she's half my size and she can kick higher than my head, right? And she can kick hard. She can kick somebody's head off. And that, you know, she's been training. So I feel comfortable as a father with her being in any situation anywhere, because she's learned those skills that she will never be a victim. And so those are all things you can find on Liberating Humanity website. And you can also, there's a lot of resources on the Child Liberation Foundation website, which is just liberatechildren.org. So there's not an ING on that. It's not liberating. It's just liberatechildren.org. And you can get involved with that. You can become an ambassador in your country and help with the message and expansion of the safe houses there, et cetera. There's a lot of beautiful things that you could do to be involved, and tools there that you can get to help keep your family safe and learn the things and the signs necessary to identify when there's problems that need to be identified.
I would love you to elaborate on that, because I think it's so important that people know what a few of the indicators or signs are. I will put the links that Paul just mentioned in the show notes, you guys. They'll be on the replay page. I'll also put the link to Gloria's new book, Keeping Kids Safe, and I'll put that all on the replay page. What are some things that we as parents or concerned citizens can look out for in terms of child behavior, maybe, or maybe adult behavior, to notice that maybe something's a bit off?
Absolutely. So within your own children, you know, a lot of times our daughters are 12, 13 years old, and they're starting to have some big changes. And we think, oh, that's just, you know, it's hormonal changes at this age. Well, it's also the age that the majority of kids get brought into trafficking or abused, right? They're at 11, 12 years old. And so, you know, if you see a drastic change in attitude or their energy, et cetera, have those sit downs with them and say, look, just so you know, I love you. I love you completely. And I know you might be, you know, dealing with some crap at school and whatever else. I just want to know if there's anything that I can do to help alleviate things. Has there been any situations that, you know, we can talk about? And again, having that relationship with your kids where they can be comfortable in those conversations is very, very important. And you know, the kids that are all of a sudden they're just dropping their friends and they're being loners and they're walking alone to school or those are all telltale signs as well. And you can see that in other kids. There's so many. And Gloria will talk about how she was screaming for somebody to pay attention to her at school. She was acting out and whatever else. And the teachers just thought she was being ADD and, you know, she was having all these problems. Well, she was pleading with them to see her, to see what she was going through at home. And she was too scared to say anything, but those were important signs that a school counselor should be able to say, okay, there's something going on in the home of this child, either some physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal, whatever it is, there's something going on there that needs to be recognized. In high school, I started a group called the Peer Leadership Team, because if somebody comes to a counselor and says, hey, you know, this happened to me at home, legally, at least here in the U.S., the counselor has to take it to authorities and to resolve it. And sometimes that prevents kids from ever saying anything. But as a peer counselor, we were able to help them open up and have those conversations with them, and then encourage them to get the help that was necessary. So that's something I've been doing for 40 years now, is seeing people who had challenges at home and helping to get them the help that they needed to live a happy life.
You always love to notice, appreciate people's superpowers. And it seems like one of yours is really enabling people or empowering people to let their guard down and let you know what is going on for them so that they can heal.
Yeah. And the real key is just helping them feel comfortable that you're a safe person to talk to, that you're not going to judge them. You know, we live in this world that is filled with guilt and judgment, and there's so much of it everywhere. And we sit here and feel judged by our church leaders and by our parents and by God, you know, all this crap. Really? No, you were born perfect. And even if things happen to you, you're still as perfect as the day you were born. And by helping people feel comfortable that you're not going to judge them by things that happened in their past, but indeed you're there as a friend to help them heal and release that trauma, you can literally transform somebody's life by just being a really good listener.
Absolutely. Some of my listeners know that back in the day, I was an author, a parenting author, in fact, and my book is called If Only They Told Me. And one thing that I heard, and this is especially for the dads, and I love earlier, Paul, that you mentioned, you know, go home and hug your kids. Like, that's one of the best things you can do. What I've heard is that for dads, especially when your girls, your daughter, goes through puberty, some men tend to back off. Like, the fathers, they're like, oh, it's awkward, I don't want it, like, hugging her. And, you know, and they suddenly back off. But what girls still crave is a physical affection. So and here's what I heard, and I'm happy, open to your comments on this, Paul. Sometimes if they don't get that from their dad, like the hugs and this kiss on the cheek and whatever, like suddenly it's just gone because the dad feels awkward about it because of puberty, they'll go and find it somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, that makes sense to me. It's like, yeah, they'll go and they'll look for, you know, some guy that's giving them just some love and making them feel, you know, and giving them some physical affection, and then it can go off the rails and go wrong, or maybe they'll start sexting or whatever. What are your thoughts on that? Is there some validity to that?
100%. You know, if that's probably the age that your daughters need a good, healthy relationship with their father, because they're getting all of this unwanted attention from boys now, and there are predators out there who now begin to look at them as you know, something desirable. That having a healthy relationship with your daughters, guys, is so important, and one that again, that they can feel comfortable talking to you, and don't be afraid to hug them. You know, a healthy hug from, you know, your masculine, your divine masculine father figure to your children, to your daughters, is healing in so many ways. There's this energetic connection from your heart, from your spirit, from your soul that envelops them and helps them feel safe and validated. And if that is withdrawn from them just because they're maturing, what are you teaching them? Oh, I'm not as loved as I was a child. No, you need to give them just as much and more.
Thank you. I hope that helps some families out there. Paul, I'm going to ask you the question. You've done so much in your however many years of life, but looking forward in 2024, if you were to truly up your brave, what would you do?
Well, I think my whole life has been up in my brave. You know, I was doing things in my 20s and building companies and stepping out of my comfort zone all the time to build the success that I had. And of course, undercover rescue missions, I don't think there's a better example of upping our brave than what me and our operators did, and literally facing evil right in the eye. But moving forward, you know, this is not good enough for me. Just doing rescue missions isn't good enough. I feel like I was exposed to that darkness so that I could bring humanity to the light. I could speak from a very unique position of experiencing the darkest part of human existence with the sale of a child for sex, and come from that and say, okay, now I have your attention. Let's talk about this, right? I have your attention. For now, you went and saw the movie. Now what, right? You've heard these stories. Now what? Let's talk about this. Well, the let's talk about this is helping humanity as a whole take a step back and say, how the hell did we get here? How do we get to the point where this is even a thing, where millions of children are being sold? How do we get here? And as good adults globally, we can step back and say, and okay, what needs to happen to heal myself, to heal humanity, to help the children? What has to happen to heal? And that's what my future is moving forward, is expanding my platforms. 9 months ago, I had zero. I didn't have any social media because I was undercover for 10 years. I didn't have maybe a couple hundred friends on Facebook, whatever. And now it's grown to the fact that we've had over 400 million total views off of all of my podcasts and the individual videos, 400 million total views over the last 9 months on all of the things. And this doesn't even include the Sound of Freedom movie. This is just me being able to share. So I'm super grateful for that, but we need to take it to a whole new level and putting together some programs and some newsletters, some other videos that are going to really help people get the help that they need to heal.
2024 for me is about expansive impact. And I'm just thinking about you, like if even, you know, if you helped 1,000 men to heal, imagine the ripple effect, the expansive, you know, exponential as well, of that in terms of children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's amazing, if you have those 1,000 men that turn around and just help a couple more, each one of them a couple more. You're literally 20 years away. If everybody just helps two more people, if all you did is just help two people this year and they passed it on, 33 years later, you're at 8.5 billion people. You're the entire planet that you have helped to heal. If people can just pay it forward after they figure out how to work through their stuff. So yeah, we can do this. We can heal. Yeah.
What is coming up for you? Maybe travel plans, holiday plans, but also in your business, you just mentioned a few things. What's coming up and how can people connect with you? I know you mentioned some websites, but what social media if they want to follow?
So right now, our full-time focus is in building safe houses for the children, expanding the safe houses that exist and giving them more tools for healing, et cetera, taking a few safe houses and expanding them into much bigger ones in different areas of the world, and healing retreats. Healing retreats are for the adults, you know, people like you and me and everybody else listening who wants to just go 3 or 4 days and work on their issues. And those healing retreats have everything from just breath work and meditation and yoga all the way to some of our retreats do ayahuasca and psilocybin, et cetera, as part of that traumatic healing experience, just depending on what people need. So that's what we're building.
Countries will those be in?
Right now, we're focusing in Latin America. We have one in Costa Rica and Mexico and Peru and Colombia. Eventually, we would like to expand and do some in Europe and some in Australia, maybe even come down to New Zealand as well.
Definitely.
And put some of those together, because this is something where we need to have access to all of humanity, to the tools that they need to heal. Mm. So if people want to find me, you can just go on to liberatinghumanity.com. There's a form there you can fill out. You can connect with me on all social medias, just on liberating.humanity, except for Twitter, X. That's Paul Hutchinson, just Paul Hutchinson on my Twitter. And I literally just started that.
Like, are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram. So Liberating Humanity on Instagram has 130,000 followers, 120,000 followers, whatever. And my X only has, I think I only have 130. total people. You know, I'm expanding that right now, but just looking to get the word out and connecting with good people everywhere.
Amazing. We will be in touch. I'll put the links on the show notes. One thing I want to ask you before I hand to you for anything else you want to add is there's a lot of us, myself included, that have heard and believe that more truth is going to be revealed in 2024 in terms of how dark and the depth of this problem, child trafficking, sex trafficking, organ harvesting, et cetera. And I guess in a positive way, in terms of like more people realize, and when more people realize, we as humanity can do more about it. Do you believe that? Like, what do you see as in the near future, meaning 2024?
I believe 2024 is the year of truth. Mm. In a lot of areas, I believe that more truths will come out in terms of how high the corruption goes when it comes to trafficking and the children, how many government agencies of different countries are involved. That's all going to come out.
Agreed.
I believe that some very powerful political leaders will be ousted for the things that they have done to children and to humanity as a whole. This is a year of truth, and there's going to be a lot of things that have been hidden for most of our lives or even longer that will come forth. And it will, they'll shake people's foundations, but it's important that that it happens. It's part of the transition. I believe that Earth is going through a beautiful transition from darkness to light. And this transition is you know, most religions believe that at some point there'll be a time of tribulation and then 1,000 years of peace. I believe that's coming. I believe that that peace is coming, but, you know, I don't think that God's going to come and just flip his fingers and everybody's going to be nice to each other. No, we need to work together and ask ourselves, where are the divisions coming from? Where is the animosity coming from? Where is the hatred? Where is the fear? Where is all of this coming from? And how can we shed this so that we can come to a higher state of consciousness within humanity as a whole and get to the point where, yes, we can expect a time of peace, thousands of years of peace. So I believe that's coming as well.
So do I. That's amazing to hear. Paul, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today before we wrap it up?
I just want to, first of all, express my gratitude, Natalie, to you and to every listener who took the time to listen. And I'm grateful for everybody who has been through challenges of their past, who, you know, like Gloria, have come out on top, who have not allowed it to drag them down and destroy their lives, but instead used it to give them strength and they're protectors of the children. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for what is coming. I'm grateful for the fact that indeed we can eradicate child trafficking, and we can do so by helping humanity heal. And I see that. I see that in the future, in the near future. And I'm grateful for that as well. So thank you for letting me share with your audience and taking the time with me from all the way across the world to talk about these things and identify ways that we can make the world a better place.
Thank you so much to Paul Hutchinson. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I would love to add a little request. If you can just share this message with one person, let's make it two, with two people, and ask them to do the same. Imagine the impact we can have. Thanks for listening, everyone.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.